That's a stretch.
Amen. God is good. Amen. It's great to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. It's great to come in and, you know, tremendous time of worship, yeah? And just entering into the presence of God and, you know, and every time, you know, every time God shows up, because God always shows up, doesn't he? Because he says, when two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. And when he shows up, you see, I love it about God. He's industrious. He's industrious. He's always trying to change us. He's not that he's kind of never happy with us, but he always wants to change us into something better and greater. One degree of glory to another degree of glory. And I love that about him. I love that he doesn't leave me the same. I love that relationship where Father says, listen, I have something new for you. You know, I love new things. He says, I have something new for you. I have something. And I just felt in the worship there that as our church, you know, our church is a lighthouse church. Our church is the church that is right on the periphery. It's right in the war zone. And I was saying this last week, we are, always has been, I suppose, the very essence of who we are, or the very calling. The very calling, we might say, is that we are an outreach church. We are a church that wants to know what's going on in that guy's life. That wants to know what's going on in her life. That wants to invite them in. And, you know, it's always been and always has been and it always will be. We're not afraid of mess. Amen? We're not afraid of messy things. And sometimes when God is, you know, doing something new or he's calling or he's bringing people in, it can get messy. And it can get, when I say messy, I mean that people are brand new and people don't know how to behave in the church. I remember my first time in the church, it was just bonkers. It was crazy. There was people jumping and dancing and singing and banging tambourines and all that kind of stuff. I was, where am I? This place is weird. And I didn't know how to behave in the church. I remember, you know, the first time I was in the church, I just kept on saying the rosary over and over and over again. Because I thought that's what I had to do. Our Father, our heaven, our Father. And the more I was praying, our Father, our heaven, the more I thought I was holy. And the more then I started jumping around. No, I didn't start jumping around. That was the week after that. But do you understand what I'm saying to you? That we are an outreach church. We are a church that is not afraid to bring people in. We're not afraid to invite people in that might have struggles or problems or issues and all that kind of stuff. And that should be a problem. But believe me, you, and I don't want to put it down on that before I move on to the sermon, but believe me, you, there is a general sometimes consensus out there where sometimes churches are happy with the way they are. And that's a sad thing, amen? It's a sad thing. Sometimes they're just happy with therefore and no more type of thing. And believe me, you, I've traveled around, but I have to say that God in Ireland is putting in pastors' hearts that they're not content with that anymore. They're not happy with that. And the amount of pastors that have come to me that, you know, that I've been sharing things with and obviously bringing the Teen Challenge guys to and all that kind of stuff, they want it now. They want that. They want that mess. They don't care anymore. And isn't that great? Amen? Isn't that brilliant? But as I say, you know, our church has always been a church that has been an outreach church, that has been part of who we are, that's part of what we are. I think it's part of what we'll always will be. And so it's great to be able to come into the same understanding that ethic, okay? So just coming back into what we were doing last week, I want to just, you know, have you got the slides up there, Greg? So for the last few weeks, probably the last 5 or 6 weeks, maybe even 7 weeks, we've been talking about who Jesus is. You know, we've been talking about, you know, who is Jesus? Why did Jesus die? Why and how do I pray? Who is the Holy Spirit? And we've been going into so much detail into who the person of Jesus Christ is, who he is as a being, who he is as a God, our God, who he is as a God who ministers, you know, a God that we can reach to, a God that we can call out to. And this week, my job is to talk about our role in that relationship. And our role in that relationship is that we are called to give it away. We are called to be people who outreach and people who preach the gospel and people who encourage people with the gospel. We are people who tell people about Jesus. That's scary. I know it was for me because I just wanted to keep this thing about Jesus for a long time with me. I when I was a new Christian, I was afraid of my life, anyone saying to me, what do you do in that church? Or what was Teen Challenge about? Or what's this new faith that you found? I was absolutely mortified if anyone had even mentioned the word Jesus Christ, because I had such a prejudice in my mind that it was nuts to talk about God in the terms of I was talking to him this morning. Or I ask him for things. Or he has set me free. To say that to a person that doesn't know anything about Jesus and turn around and say, listen, Jesus Christ has set me free, it's absolutely poof. You know, but the reality is that, and part of the Illumination series that I'm doing this morning is, why and how should I tell others about Jesus Christ? And you see, as Christians, and let me try and get this out there, as Christians, it is our fundamental job to tell people about Jesus Christ. Now, it's absolutely, there's no higher calling. There's no higher calling than you being able to lead someone to an eternity in Christ. It's what we are. It's our very essence. The people who led me to Jesus Christ were people. A church didn't lead me to Jesus Christ. A man led me to Jesus Christ. And he was an obedient man. He was a man who said, you know what? I'm going to give up everything and I'm going to work in a ministry where I get no money. Where I'm going to live from week to week. This is the guy that led me to Christ, a Scottish guy. He came over from Scotland with his wife. And to this day, he's a hero of mine. Why is he a hero of mine? Because he took the time in obedience to who he was as a Christian and ministered to me. He sat up with me all night. I remember one night, sat up with me and listened to me, telling me, I was telling him who all the drug dealers are in Bray and in Dublin, and as if he wanted to know, you know what I mean? I said, let me tell you about this guy. And do you know him, dear? And do you know this guy? No, drug dealers. I'm mentioning him by names. I said, do you know him? How would he know them? But yet he had patience with me, to sit with me, and to say, you know what, Eddie, see all that? That's all part of your life, but can I tell you about Jesus? Can I tell you that Jesus loves you? See that heroin addiction you have? I believe he can set you free. I believe it. You know why I believe it? Because he set me free. You know why I believe it? Because, you know, he's called me into this place where I can minister to you, and I'm equipped now to tell you about Jesus Christ. Amen? And so that's the essence. That's the essence. So Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Is the scripture coming up, Greg? Yeah. Don't want to put you under pressure, bro. It's not even Greg up there, it's Malky. Okay, so Matthew, let's turn to it. Matthew 28:16, if you can turn there, please. Let me know when you're all there. You there? We need a bigger pulpit here. Now, Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always and to the very end of the age. The last words that came out of Jesus' mouth was words of instruction. It was a challenge. It's called the Great Commission. And there's two parts to play in that. There's the church's role to play in that, which is us as a collective. And as I say, us as a collective means that we are together. We are understanding that we are one voice. We are one people behind the leader, which is Pastor Noel, and behind the leadership team, which is the elders, which is Rob and Peter. And then other ministry leaders are our leaders. But we are one. And we are one church. And Jesus has commissioned that church as a body to be a witness to who he is, to know that he has all authority and under heaven and earth, that all power has been given to him to set men free, to deliver people, to heal people, to set people free from the powers of darkness. All authority, all power is given to us as a church and as a collective and as an entity. And that's who we are. Amen. And what a great church. I love my church. I love my church, and my church gets bombarded. My church gets hammered over. My pastor gets bombarded. The leaders of my church get hammered. But I'm behind them 110%. I'm with them as best I can. I'm one with them. Understanding that you know, remember a few years ago, a fella says to me, a young Christian, yeah, understanding my green behind the ears, and I'm giving out about a leader, you know. I wasn't old, by the way. Just sidestepping there. I wasn't old, by the way. But I'm giving out. I don't like his message, or I don't like the way he does this and all that. I said, and I don't want this to happen in the church. And I want that. And it, you know, gave me a kick up the arse. He says it was a kind of an older guy in the Lord. He says, you know what? He says, church isn't a democracy. Church isn't, there's no vote in the church. He's a leader. There's not a thing of, let me change the leader. I am to be subservient to the leader. That's my job as part of the Great Commission. That he is my leader. There's no democracy. There's no thing of, let's all have a vote about what we're doing next. We go by his direction. We go by his passion and his calling. And we come behind him. And that's the commission. Now, that's our witness. When people come in here, they see we're one. They see we're together, and we're together for them. That we love them that come in the door, that we're passionate about them because he's passionate about them. And all we want to see is them being clean and free and blessed, because he wants to see them being clean, blessed and free. Amen. And that's our commission as a collective. Are we with me on that? Can we get our minds around that stuff? That my church is my church, but it's also the place where I serve. Not to be served, but serve. And we have to start emerging from a place of serve me too, let me serve. Point two on that also is that, and that part of the Great Commission is about the individual. We are called as individuals to serve Jesus Christ. Us, me. My role as part of me serving. See, God has instituted Noel. But at the end of the day, Noel is instituted to God. Noel is serving Jesus Christ. And I'm serving Jesus Christ through Noel. But also I have a responsibility to Jesus Christ. And to his name. And to his, you know, his calling in my life. I have a greater responsibility to him than I have to me. Will I say that again? I have a greater responsibility to him rather to me. A fella said to me one day, he says, the pastor says to me one day, and he's not too far away, he says, Eddie, you need to hurry up and die. He said that, and he said it in love, because God wants to use you, Ed. But you need to get out of the way so he can use you. You ready for that stuff? Can you still love after someone saying that to you? But I needed someone to say that to me. I needed to understand that it's not about me anymore. It's about him. It's about what he wants. And that's part of the Christian life. So the Great Commission is about the church, but it's also about us. It's about what role that we play when we walk out that door. It's about what role we play Monday morning. It's great to be happy and clappy in here. It's a great atmosphere, but let's see Monday morning what happens. Let's see Monday morning what happens when life hits us back again in the face head on. Can we all clappy? Let's all happy clappy. You know, but you know, we have to understand that our responsibility is not to us anymore, it's to him. And it's to what message is coming out of us. And so in that, let's turn to Matthew 5, 13 to 16. I need a bigger pulpit. Who's in charge of the pulpits now? Is it Anne, is it? Oh, no, Anne. No, I can't. I wouldn't trust that technology at all. No, who knows what message will come out? Okay, so Matthew 5, 13 to 16, guys. Tell me when you're there. We there? I'm going into a big lump of me here now. This is going to get chewy. This is going to get tough. Ian Paisley was preaching one time, and he says, in hell there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And someone says to him, what if you have no teeth? And Ian Paisley says, teeth will be provided. This is going to get chewy. This is going to get chewy. Here we go. Teeth will be provided. Salt and light, you are the salt of the earth. But if that salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, when your light shines before men, that they may be seeing your good deeds, pray and praise your Father in heaven. And so, that's tough, isn't it? Salt, if you look at salt, right, and you understand the economy of salt, the way oil is in the world today, and the world cannot survive without oil, yeah? You take, something happens over Iran, or something happens over Iraq, and the oil prices go sky high, yeah? And the world is totally dependent on oil. It needs oil. It needs oil to function. It needs oil to be lubricated. Everybody needs oil. When you jump into your car, what's running your car? Oil. When you go home to heat your house, what's running the heating? Oil. The world cannot survive without oil. And if you go back, and we possibly can't comprehend this, but in the time of Christ, the world could not survive without salt. The world could not. Salt was life. And if you don't have salt, you don't have life. And what they used to do was, the Roman soldiers used to be paid by measures of salt. The money was no good to them, because you can't buy meat without salt. There's no point, because it's just got rotten in a few days. You have to have salt to salt the meat so you can feed, so you can eat. And they would get salt and sell salt. And salt was the currency. Salt was much more than money. And Jesus says that we are the salt of the world. So, you know, we are the world is no good without the salt. And we are that salt. That's what Jesus was saying. The world needs us. The world has to have us. If the world wants to live and wants to understand what life is. And we are the salt of the earth. We are that salt. We are the life-giving salt. We are the essence of how man can survive and what man really needs. And so if that salt, and here, this is where it gets hard. Jesus says, us, everybody, we are the salt. We are the life-giving. We are what the world needs. We are the currency. We are the most important. But he says, if that loses its saltiness, it becomes no good. It becomes no good. If it loses its saltiness, it becomes no good. I remember, trying to understand this. And trying to understand, how do we remain salty? If someone comes to me and they listen to my life, well then I'm adding something onto them. But my life has to be salty. Are you getting that this morning? My life has to be there has to be salt. If it loses its saltiness, then I've no relevance to them at all. And it's such a challenge. It's such a challenge. It's really me getting out of the way and letting that Christ saltiness in me. That when people hear me and hear me talking and watch my life, that I'm giving them something that can preserve them, that can keep them going, that has value. And the world needs value. It needs something. It needs something to hang on to. And we are also the light of the world. There's a light that comes off us. This is a dark world. And Jesus Christ understood that 2,000 years ago, that this is a dark world. Can anyone understand? Anyone put their hands and say, yeah, this is a dark world. This is a dark world. We live in an even darker time. When man, I believe that we're coming very closely to the end times. I believe that there's something quickening in the world today. And you know what, guys? If anyone's into politics, or if anyone's into watching the science, Jesus says, if anyone's into watching the science, this world could collapse in a minute. This world could collapse in a minute. I remember, was it the 20th of September, 2008, I think it was, the bank collapsed. One bank collapsed and we are still in it. The whole world went into recession with one bank collapsing. It's on a knife edge, this world, what we live in. We live in a dark time. But Jesus says we are the light in that darkness. But if you have a light, you don't hide your light. And this is where it's getting chewy now, and people are going, oh, give me small little bits that I can't handle that. But this is the challenge that I'm throwing out to you. We can't keep drinking milk all the time. Milk is good for the time, but we have to start eating stuff. And the eating is the living. Hallelujah. The eating is the living. It's the expression. I remember one time, and it came to me, I was a brand new Christian. I went into a treatment center, and I was a heroin addict, and my life was, I was in a dark place. I was in a dark place, and I was health-wise, I was in a poor place. Mentally, I was in a very dark place, and I went into a church up on Thomas Street there, and again, Liam and I was there, and there was light in that place. There was light in that place. Every man I looked at, there was something about him. There was a resonance. There was like, what have you got? And I wanted to tell me. What is it in your life? And everything was pure. No one was swearing or cursing. There was no talk about drink. There was no talk about women. There was no talk about drugs. There was no talk. It was just a talk about holiness, a gentleness, a meekness, a control. It was just beautiful atmosphere to be in, because I'd come from such a dark place, and now I'm in a room full of people with light and emanating light. And you know what? I stayed there for a long time. I got blessed. I stayed there for a month. I got blessed by God. I gave my life to God, and within that month, I was filled with the Spirit of God. And but yet, the flesh took over, and I left that place. I ran from that place. And a couple of days later, or a week later, I remember being in the pub with all my mates. And, you know, some of them weren't addicts, but a lot of them were. They were heroin addicts like me. And they were all, I remember God brought it to my mind like that the other day. Do you remember this time, Eddie? And we were all sitting around the table, and we were all drinking pints like mad, you see. And then one of them says, where were you? What is that place, Teen Challenge? And see, this was a guy that was desperate. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is a guy that needed to hear what I had. And then I was necking back a pint, and I was thinking, I needed to. He said, and it's a Christian place, is it? What's the Christian mean? And here I am trying to tell him what Christ is all about, necking a pint. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Necking a pint. And I'm like, I can't do it. It's awkward. I can't. I'll tell you about it later. He said, where were you? This guy needed me. And so did half the lads on the table needed to hear my message. They needed this light. They were mad for it, because they were living in darkness for so long. But yet I could not. My light was hidden through the flesh, through my lifestyle. My lifestyle wasn't comparable to, if I would have started telling about Jesus Christ, then me drinking pints, it would have been absolutely, what? You weren't mad. You're a hypocrite. How was God set you free? You're asking us to buy. We're asking us to sell. You had been smoking heroin there yesterday. And now you're telling us about Jesus. He hasn't set you free, has he? So, no relevance. Do you understand that, guys? This is the challenge that we are the salt of the earth. We have to be relevant. Amen. We have to live not for us, but for him. And God convicted me in that pub. And you know what? I went back and I started using drugs again. But he had done something in my life. And I called out to him again. And he got me back over to do the program proper. And I'd done it for 16 months. And what you see is what you see now. But, amen. Amen. So, the challenge is that we are the salt of the earth. What we have is what people want and what people need. The next challenge is we are the light of the world. People need to see our light, but it has to be a relevant light. It has to be a life that is coexisting with our lifestyle. And here's the challenge, you see. It has to be a life that is emanating truth, not emanating lies. I remember a fellow was in Teen Challenge, and he came up to me and he says, another student in Teen Challenge, the two of them were talking. And he says, do you remember, I used to bump into you on the dart? He says, oh yeah, and this guy was kind of I don't know where he was, but he used to be out of his nut preaching the gospel on the dart, stoned out of his head, goofing off, and said, Jesus can set you free. Jesus can set you free. You need to read the Bible. You need to be free. And he said, but you're not free. You're totally irrelevant to me. And he was seen as a kind of an idiot. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that his heart was in the right place, but his life wasn't. His life wasn't. And that's when people see us and we start telling them about Jesus, because it's their commission and it's their calling to tell them about Jesus, but our life must coincide with that. Our life must come alongside that, guys. And this is chewy. It's hard to take. It's hard to eat. It's hard to take this stuff on board, but that's it. That's the reality of it. We are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt. Our lives have to coincide with that light. I love what Christ has done for me, but I want to do more for him. I love that he set me free. I love that he's cleansed me from all my sin. And so what can I do then? How can I live for him? How can I bring other people in? And guys, can I tell you, that I don't know where we are with time, I'm getting there, but you know, every one of us in this room have a testimony. Every one of us in this room have a story. We have relevancy. We have relevancy. You know, to the drug addicts that are clean, or relevant to other drug addicts coming in. To the single mother who's in love with God and rearing her kids, she's relevant to the other single mother that comes in here. To the person that has had sickness in their lives and has come through it, or still has sickness in their lives, but yet they're living the life of Christ. They're understanding peace. They're understanding joy. She or them are relevant to that person coming in the door. You know what I mean? They're relevant to understanding that, you know that your adversity has a different outcome than theirs. Can you hear me on that? Your result of what you're going through is different than what they're going through. And so that is the light. That is the saltiness. That, yeah, I have sickness. Yeah, I'm a single mother. Yeah, I have bills coming out of my ears. But listen, let me tell you about the love of God. Let me tell you about the difference. Let me tell you about the peace. Let me tell you about the what Christ has done for me. Let me tell you when I come in to this church that I'm lifted. Let me tell you about prayer. Let me tell you about healing. Let me tell you about the Bible and the Word of God. And it's relevant to them because you're relevant to them. Can we understand that this morning? There could be people here that struggle with their sexual identity. You know what I mean? And yet, you found a way, a common ground with God. And that's relevant to that fella coming in there, that girl coming in, that's struggling as well. How can you know peace of God and yet that has been in your life? Let me tell you. How can I tell you? Because it's happening. And it's absolutely that. It's what the world wants. It's what everybody has it. Every single person has a testimony in here this morning. Everybody is relevant. Everybody has a story. Everybody, to the man that has reared his kids and trying to find a new direction in life and has found it in Christ, relevant. 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 To people that have come through horrific abuse in their lives, relevant. Different outcomes, different scenarios. But yet still, this is what people need to hear. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
So I'll finish with this. So if you can turn to 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And listen to this, guys. God saves us so we can save other people through us. Write that down if you write notes. God has saved me to save others. God has saved me. Let me say this three times now. God has saved me so he can use me to save others. What an awesome responsibility. What a privilege. What an absolute joy. They mean to say that the eternal God in heaven will give me the privilege of leading someone into eternity. Will use my life and my story to help another person come into a life of eternity. Forever. To understand peace, love, joy, happiness, power and spirit and the Holy Ghost. What an absolute privilege. What a joy. But my role is that to keep my light shining. And let it be a relevant light. So Corinthians 2:15. I'll be there. Because I'm not even there. Corinthians 2:15. 1-5, sorry. Good find, eh? I'll get there eventually. Is it behind me? Okay, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Amen. God's power is in every one of us. God's power is in every one of us. Why do we witness and how do we witness? We witness because Jesus Christ has called us to witness. We witness because we are the light and the salt of the world. How do we witness? We witness with power. We witness with power. We come to people with power. Jesus Christ has set me free. By what? By his power. There's an evidence in this room of power, of the power of Jesus Christ, of the setting free, of the glory of God. It's in my life and it's in your life. And we have to live that life out. So Jesus Christ has set me free through his power, through his glory, through his witness, and it's in me. And every one of us have that deposited in us, amen? And if we can just believe that, let's finish with that this morning. Let's finish with that challenge. That if we believe that the power of God is in us, and that power can be transferred, and it can be given to the world, it can be spent out of us, that other people will know, not for me and not for my sense, but other people will know and realize that Jesus Christ loves them and wants to save them and wants to set them free. Amen? Amen. Amen. So guys, what challenge can we lay down this morning? But the challenge is that, yes, Jesus Christ is God. Of course he is. Yes, he's Lord. Yes, he has set us free. Yes, he wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit. He listens to our prayers. And yet, to all that, but the commission is that we must go out there. That we must live this life. We must live it in power and in relevancy. We must be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in the evidence of power given to me by him and him crucified. And that's our commission going forward when we leave here. There should be no doubt. There should be no doubt in your mind what my job is when I leave here. That I have to live a certain lifestyle. I have to understand that it's not me but Christ in me. I have to give up all this fleshly living. I have to let it go. And yeah, it's in time and in his recovering it. But there has to be a place where I have to live my life out for him, not for me anymore. I remember people saying that to me as a young Christian, and I was overawed by it. I said, I cannot live this life. I cannot be this salt and this light that you're talking about. I cannot live that. I cannot understand that. And yet, I can't understand it in the flesh, but the more I got to know who Christ was. See, Paul says, I preach him and him crucified. The more I get to know him and him crucified, is the more I can live out for him. The more I realize what he has done for me, is the more I can get rid of my selfishness and say, you know what, I want you to know what he has done for me. Because I want him to do it for you. I want him to do it for you. That's my passion. My passion is to see other people saved. Not for me to sit here and not care about anybody. Not to say not caring, but that is our job as Christians. To live out the life that he has called us to do. Amen? So let's stand. Let's put that challenge out. Let's put that challenge out. If you're a person that struggles with witnessing, if you're a person that struggles with their own self, their own identity, if you're a person that struggles with their role as a Christian, this is the time to get a breakthrough on that. This is the time to say, you know what? And there's brand new Christians in here, and there's other Christians that are older in the Lord, but even if you're a Christian today, your challenge is to be that witness. Your challenge is to be that witness, to be that light. To be that salt. And if you're a Christian years, you're even realizing that. But our main goal is that others will come to know Christ through our story, through our lifestyle, and through who we are and our identity. So if you're struggling with that, let's come up for prayer.
Hello,
power. If you want to experience that power in a fresh new way, you see, the same spirit, this is what Paul, I believe, is talking about. The same spirit which raised Christ from the dead is living in me. And that's the strength that comes to a fella and says, you come to a guy that doesn't know anything about Christ with that power. So let me tell you about Jesus in that power. Not in you, but in that power. And can I pray for you in that power? Because the same power, same spirit in me that raised Christ from the dead is in me. And so I'm trusting in that power to release you from any strongholds, from any breakage in your life, from anything that would cause you not to understand the realism that Christ has come to give you life and life in its full. And he wants us and all of us to realize that. So it's that power that we move in. Not in the power of me, but in the power of him. Paul says, not me, but Christ in me. That's the power. That's the glory. Him and him crucified. So come forward for that prayer. Come forward for, you know, a fella says to me many years ago, he says, you know how you double your church in a year? I says, how do you double? He says, if one person in the church brought another person and got them saved, the church would double. Simple mathematics, isn't it? So if we want to double this place in a year, commit yourself to bringing one person in here and lead them to God. Amen. And we'll double in a year. Amen. But you have to understand your commission. You have to understand your commission. My commission is not to be sitting here and enjoying this sunshine all the time. My job is to give the sunshine away. We cannot just sit and bless me, bless me, bless me. And this fella wants to know, oh, no, hold on a minute, I need more blessing. No, I want you up. Take the blessing. Take it, because I'll get more. Take it. Let me tell you about Jesus, and let me tell you the power of Christ and the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So come for a prayer. We pray for you. Amen. Father, we thank you. I thank you that there's such a willing spirit in this church to reach out. I thank you for the people that you've given us, Lord. I thank you that they're so willing. They want mess. They want to see their brothers and sisters and aunties and uncles saved. They don't want to hide it in a box. They don't want to sit there. And I thank you, Lord God, that you've saved them, but you're saving through them, Lord God. And I pray that this church will absolutely grow out of its seams, that it will not contain us anymore because of the power of God in this city. And Lord, we believe that. We believe that we are the light of this city. We believe that we are the salt of the earth. Help us, Lord, to remain salty. Help us to remain relevant, Lord God. Oh, Lord, bless us, Lord. Bless these people as they come forward, Lord. Bless the church, Lord God, as we go forward, Lord. Bless us in all that we do, Father. Bless us in all that we do, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. The worship team want to come back and you want prayer, come on forward, guys. But please, God, you can grab something on that this morning.